we just thank you that you're not just looking for ritual or form or liturgy, but, Father, a people whose hearts are turned towards you. And as we turn our hearts toward you, you do turn your heart towards us. While we were yet sinners, you loved us. You died for us. But yet there's that further working of God within our hearts and our lives, a love that responds to love. Lord, as we respond to your love, you see that love and further move in our lives. We thank you, Lord. We just thank you. Now, Father, I ask that these few thoughts, Lord, we ask for broken bread, Lord, that which we can partake of and receive together. And Lord, we just want to thank you for the privilege of worshiping. May we never stop praising you. May we never stop worshiping you. May this be the poise of our hearts always. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's a little plaque that I have on the wall at my house. It happens to be right under a clock that belonged to my dad. And actually, it's a plaque that belonged to him too. But it says, "What I do today is important, for I'm exchanging one day of my life for it." How true that is when you think about it. What I do is important because I'm exchanging one day of my life for it. I can't think of anything I'd rather be doing than praising the Lord. As I was looking at that plaque, looking at the clock, I realized the clock had slowed down. I actually had to move it ahead 5 minutes. I thought, no wonder I'm always late. You know, that clock. But yeah, it doesn't change time. That clock might be a little slow, but it doesn't change time. Time doesn't stop for anybody. This is the day that I have to make right choices. This is the day that I have to mature and to grow, to be made ready for eternity. My dad, he used to use the example of a tomato and an ear of corn. If I go to the grocery store or out in the field and I select a green tomato, I can put it on my windowsill and it will ripen. And in time, it will taste good. But an ear of corn, once that ear of corn is plucked from the ground, it's either 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold. It's not going to further ripen. And I can remember my dad saying, "There are no windowsills in heaven." The scripture never refers to tomatoes and talking about our spirit. It's corn. It's 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. As we pull back the husk of this life, gold speaks of the divine nature. There's that level of maturity or that growth that I have come to in this life. And I'm so thankful for the time that God has given us, for the time that God has allotted to us. Hattie Hammond, I don't think I've ever spoken without mentioning her name, but she used to say, "None of us are perfect yet, otherwise we wouldn't still be here. God would have taken us home." But Matthew 13, it speaks of that development of growth, the 30-fold, the 60-fold, 100-fold. The same potential is in the seed, all the seed. But the difference is the soil, the level that seed can come forth as we cultivate the soil of our lives. So I am just thankful, again, for the time that God has given us. And my desire is that we cultivate the soil of our lives carefully so that we can come to that full potential that God has desired, ordained, and prepared for us in Christ Jesus, that we might apprehend that for which we have been apprehended for. These last few months, the prayers of Paul have been on my heart. And as I look at society today and all that is going on, and I think we probably have loved ones and children and grandchildren impacted by so much going on in society today. And then I began to realize in Paul's day, there was a lot going on too, politically as well as socially. And there was tremendous persecution taking place in the church. Yet as I began to once again reflect on Paul's prayers, I found that the theme in his prayers was not temporal events, but they relate to the maturing of a people, the people growing up into Christ, a people coming into the fullness of God in their lives, a people who were equipped to stand in God's will and not fall away by all that was taking place. As I look at Paul's life, the way he lived his life, the way he spoke, the way he prayed, he was speaking and praying from an eternal purpose. I had a friend who recently, a few months ago, went home to be with the Lord, but he lived his life from eternal perspective. Every choice he made, every decision he made, it was with eternity in mind. And the one thing that he desired was to be found ready. That day that he stood before the Lord, that he would be ready. And I see that same desire in Paul, where his desire was for the building up of the church, the building up of a people in whom Christ would be glorified. We send out Parousia Ministries, or wadetaylor.org sends out an email about once a month. And in the email that I sent out this month, I listed the prayers of Paul. I gave the scripture references for them. If you're not on our email list and would like to join, you just go to wadetaylor.org. But I can send you that email that has a list of Paul's prayers if you don't have that. I don't have it with me as a handout today. But the prayer that I would like to focus on today is in Philippians. And I so appreciated the reading that you did from Philippians. As I began to look at Paul's prayer in Philippians, the whole book of Philippians came alive in me. My dad, he had gone to a Bible school, then he went to another Bible school, then he taught at a Bible school before he started a Bible school. And in the Bible school that he taught at, there was one summer, or one school year, I should say. There was one school year where actually, as a student body, they were memorizing the book of Philippians. And I can remember being in the cafeteria back at that time. The men sat at one side and the ladies sat on the other. The ladies had to wear a uniform. They wore navy blue dresses with white collars. And the guys had to wear a necktie, but they were kept separate. But they had a portion of scripture that they were supposed to memorize each week. And then they would go around table by table and have each table say that portion of scripture. So if you hadn't memorized, it was embarrassing because your table wasn't talking as loud as the other tables. So as they went around quoting, you know, the scripture they were supposed to memorize that week, it was kind of fun listening to see whose table was going to be the loudest, who knew it the best and could speak it forth with the most confidence. But it was the book of Philippians that they were memorizing. And I was just in about fifth grade then. But I absolutely came to love the book of Philippians. And I wonder if it doesn't stem back to then when they were memorizing the book and quoting the scriptures. But as I began to look at the prayer of Paul in Philippians, I just got caught up with the whole book. And, of course, Philippians is one of the prison epistles. And what Paul is showing in his writing is that everything that has happened in his life has all worked towards the furtherance of the gospel. And I think some of us looking at our paths can relate to that. But the prayer itself, I want to read Philippians chapter 1. Starting with verse 3, and I love this because it speaks not only of prayer, but continuance in prayer. It says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. I just want to read a few more verses. For your fellowship in the gospel, from the very first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. But he's saying, always in every prayer of mine, I'm making requests for you with joy. There's a joyfulness as he's praying for the Philippians. And there's a confidence that that which God has begun, he will surely perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And then over in verse 9, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and the praise of God. In Philippians, Paul also expresses his own personal desire or prayer more than in any of his other writings. Philippians is just a small book in most Bibles. It's about 4 pages long. Yet he uses the first person pronoun at least 100 times in this short writing because he's expressing his own heart. He's not writing a defense as he is in some of his other writings because the Philippian church is loyal to Paul. Neither is he addressing any particular schism or heresy because that body of believers is doing well. But his main purpose in writing is to pray or to encourage the Philippians to walk worthy of their heavenly calling. As he also prays or expresses his own desire to do the same. You know, when we pray, it's not always when we just sit down and say a formal prayer. But sometimes I might be fellowshipping with you and just expressing my heart. Well, that's coming as a prayer before God, as I'm just talking to you and expressing my heart. And I believe that is what Paul is doing here in his writing. There's a drive in Paul's life that I absolutely love. We see it in Philippians chapter 3. There's many who will devote themselves to a cause. But for Paul, his life was not so much devoted to a cause as to a person, to Christ himself, to gain him, to know him, to be found in him. All of Paul's attention was based on him, the person, Christ, on attaining a goal that was set before him, of winning Christ, of being found in him. I believe Christ is the very most center focus of all that is said here. And Paul's desire for the Lord and for more of him, as he also encourages the church. There's much that we could share from the book of Philippians regarding the incarnation of Christ, his humility, his supreme sacrifice, his supreme obedience. We could look at Christ as our pattern for living. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We could look at Paul's exhortations in chapter 4 to stand fast in the Lord, to rejoice always. This is where you were reading. His exhortation regarding prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, joyful praying. Not just praying when there's a problem, but praying because we can give thanks for one another. Regarding the peace of God, that peace of God that Alan was singing about, but that peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keeping our hearts through Christ, on how we are to govern our thoughts. I'm in chapter 4, verse 8. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And then I love what he says in verse 9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. That's powerful. Do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Paul's poise of spirit in verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. But his poise of spirit, he's learned to govern his mind, to govern his thoughts, to allow that peace of God to rule his heart and to find contentment whatever his circumstances are because of his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And then he speaks a blessing. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Verse 23, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. There's so many times that there's a tendency to think, well, if my circumstances would change, then I could be happy. But to learn to be happy in whatever state we are in. You know, there's a big difference between our wants and our needs. To realize that God supplies all of our needs. There's a provision for us in Christ Jesus. There's a lot that we can say from the book of Philippians. I think you could literally spend weeks and weeks on this one book. But what I want to focus on this morning, just briefly, is Paul's own desire for the Lord, his prayer for himself and for others, that our love would abound in all knowledge and in judgment, that we would learn to approve those things that are excellent, that we would be sincere and without offense. That we would be filled with the fruit of righteousness. You know, you can't come into the presence of the Lord without being changed. And there's times where we think we're doing just fine, and then all of a sudden something will come to mind. Well, why is that coming to mind now? Is that trying to distract me? No, the Lord wants us to get it right. We're changed from glory to glory. As we come into the presence of the Lord, there's an active working of the Lord within our hearts. As we are brought closer to the Lord, anything inside of me which is incompatible with who He is being washed away. It's being exposed. It's being put to death. It's being changed. That as He is, so we can be in this world. Paul lived from an eternal perspective. There was a goal that he was reaching for, that I might know him, that I might know the power of his resurrection, that I might know the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable to him in his death. There was an identification with the Lord Jesus Christ that Paul was seeking for. Not just head knowledge, but that he might experientially come to know the Lord and walk with him in fellowship with him. There was a burning desire within Paul, the Apostle Paul, someone who was caught up into the heavenlies and saw things unspeakable. Yet there was a spiritual hunger. There was a spiritual desire. There was a longing, a burning in his heart for more of the Lord. And I reckon that there's room for us to grow closer to the Lord too. That song Alan sang, "Nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee." Can you say the words, Alan? Nearer, nearer, my God, to thee. Then peace, be still. Peace, be still. We can be so busy running, doing good things. But are we missing some of the best? Are we taking the time to have quality time with the Lord? To spend time in His presence, to be still in His presence. As Alan and I have been getting to know each other, we've been doing a lot of errands together, running around together, doing this and doing that. But there's still that need to sit down and have quality conversation, quality time together, not on the run, but to be able to sit and be peaceful and to be able to speak from our hearts. And how we need that time with the Lord. Quality time alone in His presence, where He alone is our focus, where we're able to catch His heartbeat. Not just share our hearts, but catch His heartbeat, that which is on His heart. Years ago, I was in a meeting where I went up for prayer, and as He prayed for me, I went down, and when I went down, corporate worship broke out in the room. It was one of the most beautiful moments in my life, and as I was there on the floor, with this corporate worship just exploding in the room, spoke to the man who prayed for me, spoke and said, "You have caught God a heavenly vision. And I believe that there's an understanding of an intimacy of relationship. That message never grows old. It's something that we always, a devotional life is something you will always have to contend for. Busyness will always challenge it. And I believe it's a message that we can always hear and be strengthened in our heart's desire towards the Lord. That will never outgrow it, that understanding of an intimacy of relationship, of spending time in the Lord's presence, and that impartation that comes as we make time to not only share our hearts, but to receive. And that understanding of a song, it's a new song. It's the song of redemption. It's not the song the world gives, it's a new song. As the Lord is working in you and working in you and working in you and you and me, and as we come together, there's a harmonious song that comes forth as the body of Christ is joined together. And in that atmosphere, our prayer closets are needful, they're necessary, they're the foundation, they're the background. But there's a corporate anointing, there's a corporate worship, there's a corporate song that the Lord is bringing forth through a people who the Lord is making ready today. I want to be a part of that choir. There's a heavenly choir, but you know the Lord is taking auditions today. He's tuning us up today. He's bringing us into key so that there's that harmony as we come together. There's somebody who wrote me in response to the email that I sent out. She had a scripture. It's out of 2 Samuel 23, verse 11b through 12. And what it basically is saying is that Israel's troops fled, but Shammah took his stand in the middle of the field. The troops fled, but this man took his stand in the middle of the field. He defended it and struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought great victory. Can you picture that? Everybody fleeing, but one man standing. He took his stand in the middle of the field. He defended it and struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought great victory. The Lord is raising up a people today who will stand. And you don't realize the impact that you're having in any given place you might find yourself as you're simply standing in your walk with the Lord, in your love for Him, in your desire for Him, in your consecration, in your dedication, in your godliness, as you're simply standing Him. The Lord is raising up a people today. There's much going on today, but I'm not going to become distracted. We are to pray for our governments. There's things we are to do, but I am not going to be distracted by the things going on in the world today. But I am going to live from an eternal perspective so that I can stand in the day God has me living in. But also, so when that day comes that the Lord calls me home, I will be found ready. Not like a tomato hoping for a windowsill, but as an ear of corn that has fully matured, not 30-fold. Some of the time now, I'm victorious. Not even 60-fold. Well, over half the time now. But I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Not as though I were already made perfect. But this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, I press toward that mark that is before me. There's a prize. There's a high calling of God. It will cost you everything that is in the lesser realm that you might have that which is more glorious, that which is of eternal value, that you might be a part of that which God is doing today, but also that when you come before the throne, you might hear, "Well done, well done, well done, thou good and faithful servant." It's what I live for. It's what I long for. Near, my God, to thee. Near, Lord, to thee. May every breath that I take, may every day that I live, bring me a little closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, that as he is, so I may be. Amen. And God bless you.